We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Andy is so happy. He can hit the table all he wants now.
Bang the hell out of this.
He found
desk.
This weird little adapter for the headphone jack.
It's not a weird little. You make it sound like I MacGyvered it.
No, you found it on the table.
Yeah, it was right there in that little crack between those two computers.
I didn't see it at all. Thank you. You're my hero. Now you can hit the table all you want.
I can talk very vehemently and energetically about.
Wonderful.
And you can do all of your absurd gesticulation.
Oh,
I got that. I'll get that.
Dude, that studio light has been flickering for like 2 weeks.
You have a seizure or something.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
You walk in here, you're like, whoa, am I under a weird interrogation?
This is going to be awesome.
It hurts your tummy?
Anything that involves motion or lighting moving quickly bothers
Fitzy,
my belly.
Be careful.
Oh, nice. He changed the
look at that.
Color of it.
How do you know how to do that?
Because he went to theater school.
Oh.
Film school.
He's a theater dweeb.
Speaking of, we are going to talk
about. Just for the record, both my kids are in theater.
Yeah. Hold on.
I make fun of them, too.
Equal opportunity offender. Oh, you're welcome.
The Twitch chat says Andy looks like a juggalo.
What the hell's a juggalo?
The fans of the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure if I was right there.
I don't know why.
I don't know why.
I don't think you do.
Screw you, Tennis Seth.
It's not like you're wearing like face paint.
No.
Yeah.
That would be the meanest thing that has ever been said.
Of anyone here in some terrible things.
Should I be more offended than I am?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally.
Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Shame on you guys.
Yeah. I'm not easily offended. Sorry.
We'll Google it for you at the break and let you know. By the way, if you want to call in on Bill O'Brien, 617-779-7937, that's the number. But right now, let's talk a little off season because the Patriots have been there for a little while now.
Yeah.
Other teams continue to play, but here's some off-season predictions from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He says free agency in the draft will keep a frantic pace of moves that are hard to crystallize just yet. Nonetheless, we asked a selection of top league executives to come up with some bold takes. Here are some of the themes that emerged from those conversations, and I picked out the two that I think have the biggest connections to the Patriots.
Okay.
This one is a little fringy. It's about Aaron Rodgers. So he writes, will Aaron Rodgers become a New York Jet?
Ooh.
He says some people around the league can see it, assuming the Jets work on that cap deficit of nearly $3 million. Here's a quote he got from an NFC coordinator. He said, that receiving core is really talented, and you know the defense is good. They have pieces and are trending up. They should be desperate to get a QB, in my opinion. One NFC executive brought up an interesting team that's sort of random, but would make some sense on paper. That would be Indianapolis. The Colts enter the offseason with over $20 million in cap space. They absolutely need a quarterback. That executive said that the Indianapolis general manager has to get one quarterback and get it right. Maybe they just draft one and save the money, but Rodgers would be different than their past stopgap options because he's more of a sure thing.
Okay, so I know I always overanalyze things, but those are both teams that, well, one doesn't have an offensive coordinator and one doesn't have a head coach right now. And you're talking about adding Aaron Rodgers, like,
and his monster contract.
Which is the horse.
And his monster attitude.
Which he's, I believe he said on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, oh, like, my contract would have to change.
Tweaked or something.
Yeah, it would have to be, quote, tweaked.
Restructured.
But would you, I mean, if you're an owner, it's like, it sounds like Woody Johnson's interested. He would trade two first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers. They'd go down the Brett Favre road again. It's this weird history repeating itself, Packers, Hall of Famer, whole thing. But do you need... Do you just get Aaron Rodgers and then it doesn't matter who your offensive coordinator is? Or, like, what's the order of operations And does Indy need a head coach, or does Ursay say, oh, by the way, new head coach, I got you a quarterback. His name's Rodgers. Good luck with him. He's a bit of a head case.
If you're bringing Rodgers in, then doesn't that help sell your entire program to a coordinator who wants to work with Aaron Rodgers?
But who does Aaron, I feel like Aaron Rodgers would want to work with somebody. Like Aaron Rodgers
gets very pissy.
Yeah, it might
go hand in hand.
Pissy. He's a
he might have
fellow.
A little bit of a
sensation
say.
Of feeling 100 like different hands on my body.
That guy sounds really cool. What are you talking about?
Ayahuasca.
For example, Nick Cayley has interviewed with the Jets. I feel like Aaron Rodgers would say, who the F is Nick Cayley?
And I'm older than him. He's not coming in.
He's not a big enough name.
I feel like Nick Cayley could get hired and fired in like 2 weeks because Aaron Rodgers doesn't want
him. Well, who is a big enough name? They got rid of Mike LaFleur, so obviously they've cleared out
any
sort of
callback. Does Cliff Kingsbury come back from Thailand for Aaron Rodgers?
No.
He says that's not good for my mental health.
No, he just left one dink
quarterback. Call BetterHelp. BetterHelp.com/mega.
Now, from a Patriots perspective, obviously Aaron Rodgers joining what I believe is a championship defense for the Jets. And in theory, Aaron Rodgers didn't play all that well last year. Anybody, like the games I watched, there were a lot of un-Aaron Rodgers throws from Aaron Rodgers.
Was it the thumb or was it just the fact that he was kind of off all season?
Or is he old?
Or is it both?
Is he
or
washed?
Is he drinking too much stuff?
Are we on the verge of him Russell Wilsoning himself?
Right. Is he Russell Wilson or Tom Brady? Is he ready for a resurgent, take a team to the Super Bowl because they're ready and they just need me and I'm ready to show them how to win? Or is he petering out and he isn't what he once was?
That's what ayahuasca did for me.
But who? But Andy, between
Cliff Kingsbury and
between Indianapolis
right,
and
that's
the Jets,
Williams.
I would go to the Jets in a heartbeat. There's a ton to work with on that offense. It's a great defense, and regardless of what you think about Robert Saleh and whoever the coordinator might be, like that team is ready. That team is ready to challenge.
Yeah, I'm gonna make that dude's life hell in practice every day. You know?
Sure you are.
Yeah, what does Zach Wilson do if Aaron Rodgers comes?
Just
in?
Goes away.
Did you hear him? He's gonna make his life living hell in practice.
Can you imagine?
Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, squirt.
Well, he's gonna flick him behind the ear while he's standing there.
In fairness, Zach Wilson may have a better relationship with Aaron Rodgers' mom than Aaron Rodgers does.
Well, yeah, everybody does. And I don't mean that in a sexual way.
That's why I brought it up.
The kick in the organizational nuts for the Patriots is like you get really excited about your offensive coordinator and what he's going to do for your quarterback, and we're making moves up the division, and then the Jets leapfrog you. Because automatically, Fitzy, I know you're a Jets fan. You fell in love with them after the draft last year.
Of course, you misconstrue, and of course, I see what you're trying to do here. Just because I praised the Jets for having what I thought was the best draft last year, you now call me a Jets fan, but go on.
Who has the better roster?
Right now, between the Patriots and
he's
the Jets?
He's even wearing
the
Jets colors right now.
He's a Jets fan now.
The Jets
and
have the better roster.
If they get Aaron Rodgers, they are light years ahead of you in the East.
I would say that the Jets are better than the Patriots with Aaron Rodgers, uncertainly, I mean, without any hesitation whatsoever.
So you're clearly the fourth place team in the East. Especially if Brady, who's shopping
that's
for schools
tough.
In Miami, goes to Miami.
Yeah, by the way,
so Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady,
why are people making a bigger
deal
about that video yesterday? Tom Brady literally seeing schools in Miami.
Probably because he already owns property there.
He could be going to Fox and living in Miami and the kid's going to go to school.
Sure.
And isn't she living in Miami?
Yeah. I feel like none of that is very inflammatory.
That's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think?
What do I think? I'll tell you. Tom Brady's going to the Miami Dolphins. That's what I think.
If he effing knew what he was going to do, he would have done it already.
Yeah,
all right, you're scratching.
You're scratching.
No, but Patriots would be the worst team in the AFC East and have the worst quarterback in the AFC East.
And still make the playoffs.
Right.
Potentially.
Anything is possible.
He just shrugs on radio.
Anything is possible. Why not? You can have all four.
Conversation
emoji.
For another day. Can we go to this other point from the Fowler predictions, offseason predictions? These are bold takes.
Bold.
He says, DeAndre Hopkins to the Patriots?
Ooh.
At age 30, with a $19.4 million base salary, Hopkins may not merit a first-round pick in return. The Cardinals would be wise to eat some of the money to facilitate a deal. Bill Belichick is a huge admirer of Hopkins' game and needs a game-changing receiver in the worst way. He's also one of the league's most active traders. Arizona is on the hook for Hopkins' $11 million in prorated signing bonus that he got. One NFC exec said, that would be interesting to pair Bill O'Brien with Hopkins if O'Brien ends up with the Patriots OC job. So this was before it was announced. Obviously, he has the job now. They might not be friendly, but they had success together with subpar quarterback play, so maybe it can work.
Plus, new Arizona general manager Monty Ossenfort is a former Patriot scouting assistant, so therefore there's a relationship, you would think, between Bill and him.
He's an FOB.
He's at least a former employee of B in Arizona, so that might help you there. Also,
right.
His $19.4 million salary, Arizona doesn't have to eat. he can renegotiate his contract upon arrival. You'd have to have the cap room to trade for that salary spot.
Which you
Randy
probably
Moss
will.
Did.
You
Randy
do.
Randy Moss renegotiated the second he was traded from the Raiders to the Patriots. Now, can he do it? Would he want to do it? Or is he like, no, I want my $19.4 million.
And I'll stay in the desert.
Screw O'Brien. That guy compared me to Aaron Hernandez.
I feel like that's the sticking point. Yeah. They didn't just have a weird sports falling out. He compared him to a murderer.
It wasn't like,
however,
it wasn't
get
like
over that?
Bill and Randy Moss at the end of his tenure with the Patriots, where then years later, Bill is going to his Hall of Fame induction
right,
ceremony.
That was football issue, like, oh, locker room, oh, you're aging and contract.
He They're wanted money. They went to two tight ends.
Like,
DeAndre Hopkins, but it's as simple as this. DeAndre Hopkins is going to want to win, and if he can get paid and win and work with a coach he respects as opposed to one he may have no relationship with, like out in Arizona, would you not take a small haircut for a chance to come up and work with a guy like Belichick, mend fences with O'Brien?
This is not an either or. It's not Arizona or New
right.
England.
So there's
what
another,
if another team. No,
there's
other
another
teams.
Team. I'm glad you bring that up because Fowler throws this out. He said another team mentioned in the execs he was talking to is Baltimore. In Hopkins, the Ravens would be getting a true vertical threat for Lamar Jackson, who many coaches say needs a rangy target. If Baltimore is serious about keeping Jackson, it's time to get him more firepower on the outside.
Yeah, because they had the worst wide receiver room in the NFL last year, and I'm looking at the Patriots as well. The
well,
Ravens
they did have
was
Mark Andrews, though.
That's not the wide Different receiver
room. I know, but he's a pass catcher.
Yeah, but their wide receiver
Which
room
is
was
more
trash.
Than what you had.
They kept going back and forth between DeSean Jackson. Rashad Bateman was out. They had
Bateman's good. He'll be back.
Yes, no, I know. He's very
you put
good.
Put him with
like,
Hopkins
they
and they
had
blow you away.
They had DeSean Jackson, and also didn't they take back in the receiver they cut from Sammy Watkins?
Yeah.
Like, it was bad. Green Bay was also mentioned about a week or so ago, not in this piece from Jeremy Fowler, if Aaron Rodgers were to stay, because then now you add a veteran elite target like that to guys like Dobbs and Christian Watson, who they're developing. Now, all of a sudden, that would be a more... shall I say, formidable offensive attack.
I feel like all of these situations or a lot of these discussions, you got to figure out the quarterback first. Is Lamar Jackson
or the offensive coordinator?
Baltimore? No, yeah. I actually would figure out the quarterback first
with
these
Baltimore?
Types of guys. Baltimore,
well, yeah, you're not
Green
bringing
Bay.
In Hopkins if you don't have Lamar there.
Right, and Lamar's not going. I mean, Hopkins isn't going there if Lamar's not there. He's not going to
but
play
Lamar,
with Huntley.
Lamar is not like the same as, you know, it's not the same situation as Aaron Rodgers where
He's
they can franchise tag him. Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying that Baltimore has more control that they can exercise.
Yes, but now you get into, there was questions late this year. Could he play? Is this a contract thing? Is he not fully invested? What if he holds out if he's franchised for half the year? Like, to me, if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, and I have a say here, I want to know who my quarterback is. Week one, not who, he'll come back by week seven so he can get an accrued season. Like, no. I want to go into a stable quarterback situation. And of those teams you just mentioned, maybe the Patriots are the most stable right now.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, we got a trend. When we come back, we have Brian Scalabrine from NBC Sports Boston to talk the Celtics who are coming off of back-to-back losses in Florida. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jason Tatum looks over at Joe Mazzulla, not calling a timeout.
I don't know if we had to trap, but I did like the hard show, and then we got to get back because that was just a shot over Peyton Pritchard. Easy money for Bam.
Final seconds. Tatum throws it away, and the ball game is over.
Welcome back to WEEI. You hear it there. That was from the Celtics loss to the Miami Heat last night. And joining us to talk about everything Celtics is NBC Sports Boston and NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, bringing people together around the joys of food. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. And by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Kern and Brian Scalabrine. At 1-800-GET-HAIR, and Scal joins us now on the Harbor One Hotline. Thanks for joining us, Scal. I guess first question has to be about the timeout that was not called in the waning seconds of that game last night. Do you think that's a major error, or did you, I guess, agree with the explanation that Coach Joe Mazzulla gave in the postgame about liking what he saw out there in terms of the defense they were showing?
Yeah, so I would agree, you know, typically I'm a big proponent of, you know, trying to attack, you know, a team that wants to have their offensive group out there. There's a reason why they're a bunch of shooters and maybe they can't guard. But I will say, like, it felt like Miami had all the momentum. And you got to remember that, let's say, three of the guys were probably in their first time, you know, being out there in that situation. Now, if Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, or even Malcolm Brogdon – with Tatum were out there, I think I would have probably said, yeah, just roll the dice, 20 seconds, go quick. Every single guy has been in that situation before. But with that, being that shorthanded, in that scenario, I would have opted to call timeout just to settle guys in. And if Tatum is the guy that says, no, coach, I want to go, all you got to do is tell him, like, listen, I trust you, but these other guys, I just got to make sure they're in the right position because I know you're going to get double teamed. And Tatum would have been like, yeah, you're right. You know, let's make sure we get it right. And there's a lot of things to communicate. If the shot goes up, crash the glass. If it misses, make sure you foul. There's just, you know, I just wouldn't have not, I don't want to use the word not trust, but those guys have not been in tight games like that before. So I would want to make sure that everyone was on the same page. So, yeah, I would have called timeout, especially if I had two left.
Scal, in some form or fashion, timeouts have been a subplot talking point for Joe Mazzulla this year, whether it's momentum stopping timeouts and him choosing not to call those at times. And this is sort of a general question. With a young coach like him, is there ever an opportunity for an assistant coach to advise him, maybe sort of plant a seed in his ear, like maybe a good time for a timeout coach, or is that solely his decision?
That's going to be his decision. And you guys act like he's not aware of it. He is aware of it. He has certain things that he's looking for. And there's been plenty of times, and you guys, if you follow the Celtics, you know, you would say things like, let's call, oh man, we got to call a timeout. Things are getting out of control. And the Celtics will go on an 11-2 run and force the other team to call a timeout, which they don't have. So they burn one that they didn't have. I think that timeout thing is a little bit overrated most of the time. Last night, just because I do think that he should have called a timeout last time in that situation with the scenario that was in front of him, doesn't mean that I think in the third quarter when a team goes on a 6-0 run that you need to burn a timeout. I think, like, it's good to let these guys kind of figure it out. It's good for them to, like, take their lumps, and even if a team goes 12-0 on you, like trusting players to write their own ship is part of the deal. If you remember last year during the playoffs, they would call timeouts, and the team would go on 23-2 runs, you know, the other team. So, like, there is a personal responsibility from the players to try to figure this thing out. Like, last night, with being shorthanded, I wouldn't say that that's one of those scenarios. I think it's probably really good just to settle them in. But a lot of times, I'm all for it. I'm all for, you know, players are supposed to figure this thing out. All we hear is player empowerment, player league, player this, player that. Well, let the players kind of right the ship when things are going sideways. Why do we always blame the coach? Why can't these all-NBA players, Jason Tatum, you know, an NBA and MVP candidate, why can't he figure out a way? I've seen great players like Tim Duncan in the past, you know, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal. Like, I've seen some of the all-time greats. Nikola Jokic is another one this season who is riding the ship for their team when things are going sideways. And I would empower my best players and my team, my players that I have to trust in the playoffs to call, to be able to get a team through without calling a timeout.
So it sounds like you're on board with the idea that Joe Mazzulla is doing a good job and progressing, growing as a first-year coach, but there's a bigger issue that is that predates Joe Mazzulla being coach of the Celtics, Cal, and that's this turnover issue that they just can't seem to get over. And Megan brought up a stat earlier in the show from our pal Brian Barrett that basically there's a magic number for the Celtics, 16.
Yeah.
And when the Celtics turn the ball over 16 or more times, they basically lose every game. And when they don't, they basically win every game. How do they get over? How do they figure this out?
Well, I mean, every game of life is its own. The way Miami plays them with jamming up on Tatum and forcing them into Bam, that's one situation. You know, other situations, I think the way that the Warriors play the Celtics is the same way. So, yeah, like, obviously the Celtics don't want to turn the ball over. They want to, you know, they lead the NBA right now in assist-to-turnover ratio. So, yeah, I understand what you're bringing up, but you can probably say, you know, that's the whole point of make miss league, right? Man, if the Celtics make shots, they're undefeated. Like that, yeah, of course. That's how the NBA works. But I thought last year in the playoffs it was a problem. And I felt like the games that we lost, turnovers were a problem. But for the most part, I couldn't be a guy that complains about their assist to turnover ratio when it's number one in the NBA. So you always want to take care of the basketball. That's the key to winning games, but I wouldn't want to take away their aggressiveness and the way they fly the ball around. And I would just say the more that they're attacking, I feel like the least amount of turnovers they have, the more they walk the ball up, the more they play slow basketball, isolation basketball, I feel like the turnovers are a lot higher on games like that.
We're talking to Brian Scalabrine, NBA insider and of NBC Sports Boston. Scal, I just want to read you this tweet from Adam Himmelsbach from the Boston Globe, and I just want to get your reaction. This is from last night. He said, Joe Mazzulla just walked past Marcus Smart in the locker room, did a full somersault in front of him, turned and said, quote, you can't do that, then walked out. That was pregame.
Sure, I read that.
Yeah, and I guess Himmelsbach followed up, asked Smart if that was an inside joke, and Smart said, we need to stop giving him sugar.
Well, you guys, I would just say this. You guys see my interviews with Joe Mazzulla before the games, and like, I personally don't think he's anything like what he's coming across on this press conference. Nor do I think he's anything like he comes across on his interviews with me. And
what do you mean? Okay, so what do you mean by that? Like, how he comes across is sometimes being very dry, and then you see a tweet like this, and you go, that's bizarre. That's different.
That's Joe. Like, I was in Charlotte, and I played pickup with him and the whole coaching staff, right? The guy's amazing. Like, he's a savage. He's tough. Like, I would just have to admit, like, I love basketball. I play all the time. It's really one of those things where it's like, I can't wait to get back so I can play again, but I don't want to play because the intensity of the game is super high, and you're being around Joe and listening to him talk off camera and all that. The guy's like passionate about life and all that stuff. I wish that he would bring more of that to the press conference.
Of the somersaults?
No, I mean, not necessarily somersaults and stuff like that, but just like the way that he is. Like, he's a highly energetic guy that, you know, loves life, and he's always pursuing to become, you know, better at life and learning more and studying things. Like, and I think that's, you know, like, that's just Joe being Joe. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but he takes like personal Taekwondo lessons, and you know, he goes in and he does yoga at certain places on the road. And like, he's just like I really admire that about him. Other people would probably rather see their coach be 65 years old and not doing that kind of stuff. But Joe's going to be Joe. He's just not going to be like that in the press conference where he's really dry and in my interviews with him.
So would you say he's a goofball or he's just different?
Excited about life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Excited about life, about growing in life, about becoming a better coach, becoming a better person, becoming, you know, like, you know, working on breathing exercises, doing cold tanks and stuff like that. Like, super excited about, like, all life, not just one part of life. That's how I would describe him from being around him.
So from afar, scoreboard watching, you may fixate on the losses of late, But do you think there's a benefit to this stretch of sort of lineup shuffling, guys in and out, a guy like Peyton Pritchard playing 42 minutes in the long run for where this team wants to go? Are they going to benefit from things like this during the regular season?
I mean, I think that it depends on your attitude and the way you're looking at it. And, you know, like if Peyton Pritchard goes out and has a great two games or three games, and then he goes back to the bench, like that could be an incredible blessing later on down the line for him to get an opportunity and play well, and it could be a curse if he doesn't handle it the right way. So the NBA is a grind, right? 82 games and all these things and ups and downs and play, don't play, play well, get your time, your time gets taken away from you. Like all that stuff happens. It's really about how you handle all those things, right? And everyone has a choice on how they want to handle that. You can sulk about it. You can be motivated by it. You know, you can win games and be a fat cat and not keep working. You can win games and want more and be motivated by, you know, what happened last year in the finals. And it's all about how each person handles that. And I would just say, in my experience of being around some of the greats, right, like those guys are never satisfied. No matter what they win, they always want more. They want to work harder. And they have an incredible amount of confidence that they believe in their work. And I think it spreads throughout. Like if Tatum and Brown come across that way, like their responsibility of bringing confidence to the rest of their team is real. And it does that for a guy like Sam Hauser, for a guy like Peyton Pritchard, you know, Justin Jackson, like all these guys like feed off of the energy of the star players, of the accomplished players. So it's all about how you handle each scenario in the NBA. If you handle it the right way, typically your team is going to have a pretty successful April, May, and June.
Scal, I know you got to hop in a second, but real quick, trading deadlines in 2 weeks, February 9th. You pulling the trigger on anything, and what kind of move would you make?
Yeah, so I'm all in on Jakob Poeltl. Like, I don't have any inside information or anything like that, but just whatever is out there, I'm sure Brad will make the right move. Like, he studies this stuff more than me. I just think moving forward, not just this year, but in the future, getting a guy like Jakob Poeltl, he could be available. I think that he would be an amazing addition to Rob Williams and Al Horford, not just for this year, moving forward. He's that big body. He's a really smart player. He moves the ball really well. He, like, fills, to me, a lot of boxes. I don't think we need help at the wing. I don't think we need help at the guard position. I would just think over – even if it's just a regular season where Rob and Al can be managed with their minutes, that Jakob Poeltl would make a huge difference. And I would hope that if they were to make a trade like that, that he would be a part of the Celtics long term, because – I just think he's a fantastic addition. He's the one piece that I would feel like we're missing if we're really talking about winning a championship. So outside of that, I'm not really high or excited about anything out there, but I would be absolutely floored if we can get a guy like that. And I think it would save Al Horford. You know, he signed that 2-year, $20 million contract, 10 million a year. I don't know how much he'll play next year. I know he'll be valuable in the playoffs. Jakob Poeltl, like, checks a lot of boxes to save Rob Williams' career, Al Horford's career, and prolong this window.
All right, a lot of praise for Poeltl from Brian Scalabrine. He joins us every Wednesday. Thank you so much, Gal. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
So Poeltl, I guess he's the target. He made it sound very important,
mm-hmm.
Especially with Rob Williams hyperextending his knee the other night.
Injury concerns. Yes. Yep.
I mean, with Rob Williams, it's always going to be constant
always.
Injury concerns.
Perpetual. Yep.
What did you make of his translation of Joe Mazzulla's personality? Like the yoga stuff to me is not that weird. Like a lot of young people do yoga now when they're on the road and things, especially former athletes, to keep themselves healthy.
Some nice road yoga.
Yeah, road yoga.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, sounds strange.
No, I just
isn't that how we got Mazzulla as a coach? Too much road yoga.
No. Too soon. Bad Andy.
Well, there are some poses in yoga that
easy,
may have been
easy. No, it was a very convoluted answer. I don't think there's any other. I don't really know what he was trying to say. Like
he's saying he has a lot of interests outside basketball, whereas Scal is a basketball guy.
He's an energetic dude.
But it was one of his interests, like Cirque du Soleil? Doing gymnastics?
And I do agree there's a fine line between a young coach with outside interests who people like Fitzy are doubting already and, you know, the 60-year-old basketball lifer who'll get the benefit of the doubt. That guy, he just eats, breathes, he watches tape, that's all he thinks about. I don't need that. Like, I do believe it's a new time where, and we're going through this in football with other, like Cliff Kingsbury, is he not invested in the way that Bill Belichick and these other guys are invested? But the personality thing, I wasn't really sure exactly what he thinks Joe Mazzulla needs to bring to the press conferences or to his interviews.
Well, he was kind of saying behind closed doors that Joe seems to be a more relaxed guy or a guy who's like really excited. He kept saying he was excited about life.
Right.
Excited about a lot of different things.
But you don't want to come off as a cheerleader as the head coach. No. Like super excited every game. Yeah, they're winning. There's an opportunity for him to come out there and be excited.
But do you think
he's
feels
a positive impact, it seems like he's having.
Does it sound like he is in press conference or something trying to show a little bit more in line with Brad was a very serious guy in the press conferences, very dry, very, very serious. Udoka came off as a hard ass and would basically
kind of miss it.
Like
me too.
He would hang his players out to dry when they screwed up and say they screwed up.
Right.
That's on them.
The biggest thing I always go back to, any coach, any sport, you got to be yourself.
Yeah. So
that's why I don't really care about the somersault.
But here's the thing, is then it's interesting to me.
That's him.
Okay, but Pete Carroll's weird. He's weird in press conferences. He's openly weird.
Yeah, he doesn't wear a shirt
in the locker room. And he's like, I'm so pumped.
And they play basketball.
Exactly.
And he believes in UFOs and like all these things.
Right.
Be you. Just be you.
Okay.
Because I think players absolutely chew up and spit out phoniness. Just don't be phony.
That's why, guys, that's why so many, to cross sports, which we often do since we're the Six Rings guys and we are obsessed perpetually with the Patriots, that's why so many people from the Belichick coaching tree, I believe, have flamed out elsewhere is because they try to go do a Belichick act. Like, oh, that's what you guys hired me for, to try to bring some of that Belichick magic and his stern disciplinarian method. Like, no, we want you to take what you learned from him and then apply it through your lens here. Not just go do a cheap impersonation of what Bill does there.
And Mazzulla is, how many games have they played? Whatever it is.
47?
47 games into his NBA head coaching career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's finding himself. He's figuring out what his comfort level is, how he answers questions. Like, right?
Yeah.
You're still finding your way as a radio personality. Like, you learn every day. No, don't you
actually
do things differently now than you would have 6 months ago?
We're still lost in the woods, man.
And that's fine. That's okay.
Do some feedback
be
yoga
you.
Later.
Oh, don't try to be the big O or anything else. Be you.
Oh, that's what I've been trying to do the whole time.
You're failing at that point.
When she says load them up, though, it's like
you have opinions. You don't sit on the fence. Oh,
yes, no.
Cheap shot.
Yes, what do you mean? I love
on the Odyssey app. He's mad somewhere.
He's a legend. Yes, no. The man is a living legend.
Absolutely. But Mazzulla is finding who he is as a coach, sort of at the highest level. Right, like this isn't. He didn't coach, some Butler team for 10 years.
Yeah, no, on a huge stage.
Right, so like, give him a little rope, give him a little.
Here's
slack.
The thing: I'm not sitting here saying I have a problem with it.
I think it's
okay to sit here and say it's super weird. He's this extremely dry guy in press conferences who has kind of weird interactions with the reporters, the ones who are there every game, not just like a random, national person who drops in because TNT is there. Uh-huh. And then he's doing a somersault in front of Marcus Smart and mocking him.
Excited about life.
I just
want to point
funny.
Out he's also not the coach of like the Charlotte Hornets. He's not the coach of a team that's like mid-market and would be happy to get into the play-in tournament.
Right.
He's the head coach, the interim head coach of the team that is the betting prohibitive favorite to go back to and possibly win the NBA Finals. So it's a different kind of learn on the fly. Like, his learning curve is much steeper than a lot of other teams or a lot of other head coaches would have at this point. So that's why there's more pressure. That's why we're scrutinizing Andy.
And I totally
Andy's
agree
like,
with that.
Don't even talk about him.
No, I just, he has a, he's learning
You're
on the
really
fly.
Really protective.
He's learning on the fly at a place where he has to hang a banner or it was a disappointing season.
Correct.
His sounding board.
He's on a roll.
Yeah,
right
duck boat or GTFO, bro.
Oh my God. His sounding board.
Oh, no.
I don't. You just got that?
No.
A little quicker, please. It was terrible
I was in the
4 seconds
of making
ago.
My own point. That one, we might have to get some of that Febreze from Foyer's Brussels sprouts and get that one out of here.
I also
Wow.
His sounding board is Brad Stevens, but it doesn't sound like his personality is Brad Stevens.
No, you don't
so
say.
It's weird. Like, you go to that guy for advice. He did it for a long time. He's your mentor, but he's nothing like you. Brad Stevens was never going to do a somersault in the locker room. So you have to find that blend of listening to him and ignoring him.
I can't
him.
Even
Brad Stevens used to be like Gardner Minshew, just walking around only in a T-shirt.
No, I'm sure. I think that was E-May.
Oh,
and again, that's why we have Joe Mazzulla.
God's sake, Andy, we need a break. Okay, I'm going to show you what a juggalo is during the break. We'll be right back. Andy's in a good mood now. What's got you all worked up?
Ryan's doing
it. Was it talking about the Bible?
Why are you mocking
about the Bible during break?
Wow.
I'm expanding my Christian horizons.
You're just improving your literary knowledge base.
A little bit.
Nothing wrong with that.
There was a freaking place. There's a place in my town named after it.
The Bible?
What?
The Bible?
Yeah, there was a location in the Bible that now there's this weird name place area of my town. Paynarum.
Paynarum?
You'll never say it, so don't try.
Okay.
It's called bread and soup there, right?
I moved on from coordinator, and I moved on from Baltimore the way you've been saying it. I've ignored it. I've done you a favor.
All right. I'm not going down this road with you today. I'm just going to leave it there.
Take syllables out of random words.
It's just the way I talk.
Syllables.
Syllables. Sybils. Let's go to some calls on the Celtics. David in the car, you're on.
Hi, good evening, guys. Thank you for taking the call. So, Mago, I just want to give you a shout-out, and The Last of Us is a great show. You guys were talking about earlier. I just got to give you, that is a great show. Anybody who hasn't watched it, watch it. You're going to love it. It is awesome.
Tell Andy to watch it.
Nope.
Yes. So, on this whole thing with Missoula versus Ime. So I kind of get a kick out of it how everybody seems to be pretty hung up on Ime as if Ime was here for 5 or 6 years as a coach. When you think about it, Mazzulla's been with the Celtics longer than Ime was ever here. Mazzulla's been with the Celtics for 3 years as an assistant, now as where he should be the head coach. And the way Mazzulla is, so one of my sons played for his dad. I knew his dad. And he has the same mindset, and he coaches the same way his dad did. And it's the way he is. And I think he should not change. And if the league and if the Celtics fan have a problem with him and cannot accept him for what he is, that's too bad. Because I am telling you guys right now, just knowing his dad and knowing who he learned from, this guy's going to make a great coach for the Celtics. And
thanks, David. We got to keep moving, but... Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's Ime versus Mazzulla. I don't need to pose it that way.
There's an automatic comparison.
Yeah, he had to take over at the at the 11th hour because Ime screwed up.
Right.
Like,
but you're going to compare there's like visual comparisons. There's the big, stern, hardo coach that Ime was.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the smaller, like more athletic looking point guard. Like they're just different people.
Who makes no expressions on the sideline whatsoever.
He chews his gum
and occasionally frowns. Yeah, like and doesn't
and
call timeouts.
He's got a very furrowed look in press conferences.
Correct.
Like I don't know whether he's confused or stern.
To the caller's point, to David's point, he's been here for 3 years. He's a Brad guy.
Yeah.
And to me, on the sidelines and the way that he coaches is a little bit more the Brad Stevens school than the Ime school.
But
if you want to make a comparison, to your point, Andy, I think you're right. I think it's him figuring it out. At the same way, I don't know if he's weird. Let that freak flag fly in the press conferences.
I'd win first then.
He's winning a lot.
No. Get a title and then do whatever
times.
The hell you want.
Oh.
Somersault into the press conferences, somersault on the court. Do whatever you want, but win first. Because have you decided?
He just somersaults into every press conference.
So you don't like him.
Yeah. A while ago, I thought about maybe the idea that Brad Stevens stepping in may be best for the team because this may be a lot for it. It's not.
No, but you said Stoudemire
Stevens
in hour one.
Stevens does not want him.
Oh, I like Stoudemire too.
So you take Stoudemire. I don't know. I'll just be honest.
I very well might.
I know. Talk radio, you're going to have a... I don't know whether I like Mazzulla or not. How can I know at this point? They're winning.
Andy,
He's good enough right now. That's what I'm bringing up.
He's Tatum's guy, and the stakes are so high, Andy.
Trying to figure out who he is. This report from Himmelsbach, as silly as it is, first of all, it's very silly. I'm aware that I'm spending time talking about something that's very silly. Everything doesn't have to be... The X's and O's that we talked through the first hour, if you want to hear that about the Celtics game and like drilling into this play, that play.
Yeah.
He did a somersault in the locker room and pointed to Marcus Smart and said, "You can't do that," and walked out. It's funny. So I'm trying to figure out who he is because that's not who he is in press conferences. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to how does he relate to these guys on the team? What is his coaching style?
So, to steal a line from your future co-host,
mm-hmm.
Celtics are 0-1 when Joe Mazzulla does a somersault in the locker room before
this
the game.
This is true.
Facts
this
only.
Is right? True.
Facts only.
I can't argue that.
Can't I'm win worried. In Florida.
Wait. But I'll toss it back this way. We don't know how many gymnastics he does.
It's true.
Good point. It's the first time it's been reported. Hey, you know what else we're kind of just whistling by is whether or not you guys, whether or not anyone else here at the station now, anyone listening, is legitimately concerned that Mazzulla's inexperience and his hesitation to call timeouts and this coaching style that he's kind of developing on the fly is going to cost them bigly when it matters in May or early June.
So you bring that up. Let's go to John in the car because I think he's a little bit more in your line of thought. John, you're on.
Yeah, hey, well, how's it going, everybody? Andy, by the way, you are 100% right on that Cuffs insider info.
Thank you.
Should give that back to Keith.
You're
welcome. Hey, Flippy, wait a minute. Like, you know, I remember this coach. He was really into, like, Zen. And he was like, it was his big thing. And, like, all he focused on was Zen. Like, he was terrible, I think. Oh, wait, his name was Phil Jackson,
yes.
Like, yeah, so, like, Joe Mazzulla likes to do yoga and it's different. Like he's 35 and 14.
Doesn't bother
like,
me.
What's your problem?
That doesn't bother me. The fact that he does yoga, that he sits in a cold tank, that he does a lot of contemporary relaxation. I don't care if he goes to a stretching clinic, if he goes to bar, if he likes Bikram. That doesn't bother me.
Do you know what his record is? He's 35 and 14. Like, what are you worried about?
But, dude, what am I worried about? I'm worried about the fact that the guy does not have a lot of experience. The stakes are very high for the Celtics, and almost anybody could probably drive this Corvette to 35 and 14 the way that they are, the way that they're stacked with talent now. I'm just wondering why. Like, he doesn't have a long resume, John. Like, he doesn't have a ton of experience, and so far it looks like he's kind of costing them with his decision to just trust the pros and let the men be men. Like, it's okay to get in there. You're not just the coach assistant. You're not just the post-game guy. You're the in-game coach. You need to sometimes cool them off and let them take a minute to breathe, set up a play. That's all I want. Sorry, that's my opinion. I'm sitting here. That's what I think. I've shared it.
Speaking of which, I didn't care for Scal's answer about the timeouts. Agreeing with you, sort of.
What do you mean?
Apparently in the NBA, assistant coaches sit there with their thumb up their butts and don't do anything in games.
Oh, man,
you didn't
aggressive.
Care for it. It's reality.
So what are why is it not okay for assistant coaches to say,
it's
hey, coach.
It's just not how it's done.
I know you seem to
I'm
be
not
okay
saying
with
it's
this,
okay
but
or
just,
it's not okay. It's just not how it's done. So for you to say, why didn't any of the coaches do that last night? It's not the way that the chain of command works. It's not like they're positional coaches or coordinators. Sorry, I had to say the word again because of the nature of the conversation. The way that NFL coaches are. It doesn't work that way. There's fewer guys on the floor. There's one guy calling the plays, calling the timeouts, and determining when that happens.
No.
It might be a conversation that they have outside of the game, but in the game, nobody's going to go up to the head coach and tap him on the shoulder and suggest that.
I'm going to say something bold then. That's stupid.
Okay.
Wow. Like, I'm not saying a coach should be able to call a timeout. No. The head coach calls the timeout.
No, I know what you're saying.
Advisory role. Hey, coach.
I understand what you're saying. It's 20? Not going to happen.
That's nuts.
That's not the way
it
works.
I call that pushback. That, like, why can't you? Can no one suggest on the sidelines of an NFL game, like, coach, do you think you want to call a timeout
here? Happens all
like
the time. And no one believes in chain of command more than Bill Belichick. He comes from the Naval
Academy.
I
don't disagree with you. I'm just saying I don't think it's fair to criticize the assistant coaches last night because if they did that, that would be the story.
So we just go down with the ship. There was like the one guy who could have saved the Titanic, but chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Yeah. You want to go down with the ship.
I didn't know that was the story of the Titanic.
It was that game. It was a Titanic.
Titanic's a very large metaphor.
Okay.
I wanted to get strike.
We'll continue with your calls when we come back. We will also get back to the Patriots' second day following this Bill O'Brien news. The guys here, a little irritated about some of the stuff that they've been hearing in response to that hiring. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.